Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Talk Spicy. I'm Coach Gene Clemens. Thank you for joining us wherever you are joining us. Rate the show, comment, agree, disagree, but whatever you do, keep it spicy. Five-star ratings are appreciated. And if you're joining me on the YouTube channel, make sure that you like, make sure that you subscribe. I don't have any fresh hate today. I have legitimate, just utter, like, disdain. I was scrolling the Twitterverse as I am prone to do on most occasions. And by the way, before everybody thinks that Twitter's dead, y'all realize that you have to have another platform that does what Twitter does. And as much as people like Threads, there's just not a lot of people that are willing to go over there and build up whatever it is they already had built at Twitter. So unless Twitter crashes, unless Twitter like disappears, people are going to be on Twitter. But it's okay to have another source, right? Like that way, not everybody is relying upon one source. When MySpace came along years ago, that was the source. And then what happens is that MySpace came along. And then later on, Facebook came along. But what happened was that Facebook took a lot of the elements from MySpace to make Facebook better. Once Facebook went out of its niche, which was college students, you had to have a college email address in order to sign up. Once they went out of the niche of college students and opened it to everybody, it essentially killed what MySpace was doing. We already took all the stuff that you're doing over there and put it over here. Remember, when we first started, there were different entities, like when it really got popping, right? Twitter was for the writers, people who wanted to express themselves with written word. There were no pictures. Instagram was where you went for your pictures. There were no words. Facebook was where you interacted with friends and family. Friends and family interactions. They took a little of the Instagram stuff. They took a little of the Twitter stuff. There used to be a word count in Facebook. And then they got rid of the word counts. And now people write damn novels on Facebook. You used to have all of these different things. And that's what made it great. And as they started blending, as Instagram started taking the pictures and now adding video, and then Twitter took pictures and added pictures and video, and Instagram added words, and Facebook is Facebook. Everything blended together. And so now it's what's your flavor? People always hear like students talk about, oh, nobody's on Facebook. Well, then why is it the biggest like app in the world? Why is it the biggest social media app in the world if nobody's on there? Oh, well, only old people are on Facebook. Then why is it the biggest social media app in the world? And what do young people become? They become old. So are you telling me that in 10, 15 years, Instagram is only going to be for old people? No, right? Nothing is for, everything is just for who likes it. And so We need to get off of this, oh, Elon Musk is ruining Twitter. Look, if he wants to mess up his $10 billion bag, his $10 billion baby, where it's less than it was, then that's on him. MySpace died. Nobody, you know, gave it a funeral. They just moved on to the next thing. Vine died. Nobody gave it a funeral. They just moved on to the next thing. And if Twitter dies, nobody will give it a funeral. They'll just move on to the next thing. But Threads, don't be fooled. Like Threads is they're hustling you. They essentially took a platform that they already had set up and signed you up over here without you having to do anything but click a button. That's not sexy. They've clearly stolen some of the interface of Twitter. I don't care, but it ain't sexy. I'm over there on Threads. I don't like it yet. It's not fly, but I'm there because I want to be on the ground floor of things. And it's searching through social media that I found one rant by Senator Rand Paul, Randall Howard Paul. He was an American physician and a politician serving as the junior United States Senator from Kentucky since 2011, a member of the Republican Party, son of former three-time presidential candidate and 12-term U.S. representative from Texas, Ron Paul. Just want to start there. So at a Senate hearing, right? At a Senate hearing about antitrust laws, that Senate hearing, which was supposed to be about the PGA Tour and LIV merging, Rand Paul decided he wanted to talk about college athletics. He said, and listen to what he did, because I'm going to break it down if you don't understand it. He said, now everybody that plays basketball in college is going to be driving a Bentley or a Rolls. I mean, we're going to be seeing rap stars instead of basketball stars. Well, Senator Paul, what do you mean? What do you mean? Why basketball? Why Bentleys and Rolls? And better yet, what person out here do you see just rolling around riding in Bentleys and Rolls Royces? I have yet to see one, not one NIL athlete driving a Bentley or a Rolls. Why rap stars? Why rap stars? Why basketball? And why the equation to rap stars? You know why? Because Senator Paul looks at athletes, especially college athletes, as essentially people who are here for our pleasure, who should not receive any benefit. He didn't say anything about, well, he didn't even bother to say, well, they're student athletes. He's just mad that they're getting a lot of money. And this is why I tell you guys, don't fall for the banana in the tailpipe with NIL. We need to stop allowing them to refer to it as some sexy name. NIL, name, image, and likeness. Call them what they are. They're endorsement deals. Did you know that in the NBA, not every player has an endorsement deal? In the NBA, the best of the best basketball players, not all of them are sponsored by a shoe company. And then some of them who are sponsored by the shoe company, they don't do anything but get shoes. Their shoe deal is nothing but free shoes. They're not getting any legitimate money. See, endorsement deals are deals that are given to players who have popularity. Players that the entity, the business, feels will bring in money for them. That's what name, image, and likeness is. It's an endorsement deal. It's not these collectives and these other ways to try to control money. so that only certain people or so that we can decide who gets money and who doesn't get money? No, that's not how it works. Endorsement deals are not run by the school, the athletic department, the coach, some third-party a-hole outside of the school just trying to make a buck off of these players. Endorsement deals are between the player and the entity that wants them to endorse them. This is not payment from the schools. So how is it messing up anything? The schools should be the ones paying. The schools should be the ones providing the compensation for these athletes who are bringing in millions upon millions upon millions of dollars. And yet, and by the way, here's the funny part about it. It would not have taken a lot of money for these schools to have satisfied these players. I have seen guys who were going to be first round, second round, first day draft picks get hype over an extra $1,000 that they got back in a refund check. People who in 8 months, 9 months, who are going to make $1 million plus hype over $1,000, $2,000 in refund checks. Dude gets a refund check, the refund checks for $3,000, $4,000, $5,000. You would think he was rich. Imagine if the school systems would have just given these players, I don't know, an extra $2,000 a month. If the schools would have done it, if they would have given the players an extra $2,000 a month, right? And then because they're now paying them, now they would have been able to sell those players' name, image, and likeness to other entities individually. Now they could have gone to NCAA football and given them their names. Why? Because they're being compensated. And it would not have taken as much money as people think. Exhibit A, right? Let's say you paid every scholarship player on the team because walk-ons, like, they decided to work for free. I don't have any, like, I get it. I've been there. I wrote an article that got me suspended about how walk-ons should be better treated. But walk-ons decided to be walk-ons. They decided to be walk-ons. So you ain't getting no money. You're going to get all the regular perks that the athletes get, but you're not getting any money. That's not in your contract. The same way that a scholarship's not in your contract. So of the scholar athletes, right? Your 15 scholarships, just going off basketball, since this is what Mr. Paul wanted to harp on. I'm coming back to that, though. The 15 times 2,000, that's $30,000 a month. Over 12 months, that's $360,000 a year. You're telling me that's not feasible in college budgets? We're just talking about at the elite level where they're spending millions and they're making millions. You're telling me that $360,000 isn't possible? You're telling me that hold on, I'm sorry. You're telling me that $1.9 million isn't possible in big time football per year? The University of Georgia spends in excess of $3 million in recruiting per season. Why couldn't they just give that $3 million to the players? Hey, what better recruiting tool is there? Right? What better recruiting tool is there than to say, hey, listen, we're not flying helicopters to your house. Right? We're not flying helicopters to your house. We're not, you know, going to be out there stunting and spending all this money and commute. We're going to call you on the phone. We're going to hit you on the socials. And if you sign with us, you're getting $3,000 a month. On top of your scholarship and everything else that you normally would get. Over here, we're going to pay you $3,000 a month with incentives. So the incentives, when the head coach gets that $1 million bonus for winning the national championship, and the assistant coaches get whatever percentage that they get for winning the national championship, guess what? You do too. When that coach gets a bonus for going to a bowl game, guess what? You do too. When that coach gets a bonus for winning an SEC championship or winning an ACC championship, guess what? You do too. When that coach gets a bonus for 10 plus wins in a season, guess what? You do too. So altogether, you're $3,000 a month, right? You're $3,000 a month. You're $36,000 a year that you get tax-free. You ain't got to worry about none of that because it's all underneath. It's all built into your scholarship, right? All of a sudden, now you have domain. But instead, they're amateurs. Instead, you don't want to pay them. You don't want to compensate them. So then they find a way around it. And now these schools want to act like they're paying them. There's not one school out here that likes this. Not Georgia, not Alabama, certainly not Clemson, not Michigan, none of them. None of those schools in California like this. Nobody likes that these players are being paid. Hell, if I'm being honest about it, sometimes I get a little bit when I think about guys who have not done anything in college yet getting like significant money. And then I stop myself and remember that they were not receiving anything. So the pendulum swings. You go when players who are holding down and making millions, if not billions, for an organization, now all of a sudden players are getting money. I got to be okay with players getting money who haven't done anything yet. The same way that I have to be okay with NBA players who are getting $15 and $20 million for backup money. The same way I got to be okay with quarterbacks who are getting $40+ million for mediocre performances. I have to be okay with that for all of the years that they hold all the other players. And here comes Rand Paul with his racist ass. Not Rand Paul, excuse me. Let me make sure I get his name right. Although I will say, Rand Paul. Here comes Rand Paul's racist ass out here with the, oh, these basketball players are going to be more like rappers. Why basketball players? Why rappers? You want to know some of the people who are getting the biggest bags in college athletics? Guess what, ladies and gentlemen? It's not men. It's not men. And it ain't basketball players. It's these young ladies. It's the young ladies. And a lot of them don't share the same hue as me. A lot of them do not share the same hue as me. They are getting paid boku dollars in NIL money. Not one person ever talks about it. The only people they decide to talk about on a regular basis when it comes to NIL money are basketball players and football players. Basketball players and football players. Somebody tell me why. Somebody tell me why basketball and football tend to be the two sports that everybody talks about when it comes to NIL, even though those are not the sports where people are getting paid the most money. Those are the sports where the top of the top are getting paid a lot of money, but then the drop off is ridiculous. It's like Bronny James getting a ton of money. Who else on USC is getting a ton of money? Who else on USC has the name and the following of a Bronny James? Name another USC player. Exactly. What we're doing here is what we've always done. Rich men who have an interest in keeping a certain demographic poor is sitting there judging them based off of them now having a little bit of power, a modicum of power, an itty bitty teeny weeny piece of power to be able to change their stars. There's no guarantees that Bronny James is an NBA success story. There's no guarantees that he lasts in the NBA. Right? Should he not have the opportunity to make his own money while he's hot so that he doesn't have to live off his father's money forever? Why is he not allowed to make his own way? Why does he have to be compared to a rapper? And why is that a diss? Why is it a diss? Why? Because Rand Paul looks at rappers as what's wrong with the country. In other words, Rand Paul looks at wealthy black men, excuse me, not wealthy black men. He looks at rich black men as the problem in this country. Because he doesn't like the way these rich black men display being rich. Meanwhile, if you're sitting in your tailored Tom Ford suit, which has no value once you buy it, you can't resell the Tom Ford and get like anywhere near the money that you paid for the Tom Ford suit. I'm spitting game to you now, right? Because this is all of the BS that they tell you about athletes. Oh, the athlete went out there and bought a gold chain. The athlete without Patrick Mahomes, somebody gave Patrick Mahomes flack for building his dream home. And his home has a 40-yard, 50-yard football field in the back. It has one hole of golf that he's designed there. And people are like, oh, well, yeah, this is such a bad investment. He's not going to be able to sell it. Yo, he paid peanuts. Why? Because he paid for it in Kansas City. That same estate in L.A. would be $40 million. He paid a couple million in Kansas City for it. Oh, well, they wonder why they don't get, they're not able to sell their stuff. Look at Michael Jordan. Who, you think Michael Jordan cares that he can't sell? You think Michael Jordan cares that he can't sell some mansion in Chicago in a place he's never really going to ever again? You think Michael Jordan is worried about making $10 million off of this estate? You think Michael Jordan's going to take a loss on that? Michael Jordan built that back when you could build cheap. So even if he doesn't get what he wants from it, he's still going to make a profit. And why do you care? Because it's a black man spending millions of dollars in a manner that you might not spend $1 million. So we'll criticize a rapper. We'll criticize a rapper. We'll criticize an artist and a basketball player for wearing expensive clothes that is more of a hip-hop feel, more of an urban feel. But we don't criticize people for rocking Tom Ford suits. We will diss people for buying Chanel purses and Birkin bags, right? But we don't say anything about that lady over there with that Dooney and Burke. We don't say anything about them rocking that Burberry stuff. Equally as expensive, equally as useless when they buy it, and yet no one says anything. Why? Because it's not black men spending money, being proud about having money, letting people know that they have money. If you're worried about these young men, these young black men, Rand Paul, since you mentioned rap and you mentioned basketball, where the populations are predominantly black men, right? You didn't say anything about country music. The country music culture has mirrored rap for years. Not one person ever said country music is bad for the youth of America. They've been talking about drinking, drugs, sex, violence. They've been talking about it all forever. We just smile and do our line dances and slap our knees. Not one person is saying it's bad for America. Not one person is saying, oh, well, this isn't what we really want. This is bad for the sport. Why basketball? Why rap? If it's not because those are the two sports that are inherently and predominantly black with loud and outspoken people, then what's the reason? You think he just thought of that on the fly? This was a bar. He was trying to get this take off. This was something he wanted them to know so much that he did it at a hearing with the most predominantly white sport in the world, golf, where a bunch of rich white people took Saudi blood money. And then the other rich white people that they used to work for screwed over the most influential black person on the tour to go get that Saudi money too. These are rich white people on rich white people. And in the midst of this hearing about this antitrust with a bunch of rich white people, we have the time to come out and disrespect black culture. Basketball players and rap music. You think he was talking about the white dudes when he said these basketball stars are going to be more like rap stars? What white rap stars do you know? Eminem hasn't been high in forever. Machine Gun Kelly is niche. Tekashi 6ix9ine. You got Jack Harlow. Right? You got Jack Harlow. But Jack Harlow's swag isn't even like a rapper swag. So who are you talking about? Never seen Jack Harlow in a Bentley or Rolls Royce. He might have one. I mean, he's rich. I don't know. I never seen it. I never saw any of the predominantly white culture in Bentleys and Rolls Royces that come from sports. The problem is I haven't really seen a whole lot of black people. Basketball, a lot of black rappers rolling around in a bunch of Bentleys and Rolls Royces. At least if you're going to diss us, get your vehicles right. You went off of some stereotypical bull that doesn't even apply to the culture. You're so out of touch, Rand Paul, that you didn't even bother to tap in to figure out how to diss us best. But we just let this go from our elected officials. He says this because he's not worried about anybody in Kentucky voting him out of office. Imagine being so comfortable in your position that you can say whatever you want against an entire people and not worry about the backlash. I live in Georgia. Despite the most earnest efforts of everybody involved, they still couldn't get the governor of Georgia out of his seat. They still could not get him to get him beaten in an election. Why? It's just too many of him that feel that way. And some of us that also roll with him. None of the ones with him roll with us, but some of us rolling with him. That is the America that we live in, where it's okay for a governor to be on a commercial with a gun and his kids, but it's not okay for Ja Morant to have a gun in his car. Not pointing it at anybody, not shooting it, just the presence of a gun. Oh my God, he's an awful person. Governor got the gun and the kids with their guns in the, oh, he's such an American. I salute you. This is what we're dealing with in this country. Yo, black men, I'm talking to you. I'm going to look right in the camera. There's not a lot of people out here riding for us. There's not a lot of people out here bigging us up. So let's do what we've actually done well in the past. Let's big each other up. Every time some asshole wants to come along and say something that is demeaning or degrading to us, We need to check him and we need to raise our people up. I want to give a shout out to Errol Spence and to Crawford, who are going to be fighting in the mega fight here at the end of July, because all they've said to each other is, I'm going to beat your butt. Ain't no, you're a terrible person. I'm going to tear you down. I'm going to degrade you. Nope, none of that. Respectfully, sincerely, they both are sitting there as people who are not willing to allow people to have a perception of them that's negative just to sell tickets. I don't care who else watches this fight. I know that people who really love boxing, they're going to know that this fight is the one. And guess what? The rest of you mouth breathers will come along and watch the fight just to get clout. And they'll make the bags that they're supposed to make off of this fight. But they don't have to disrespect anybody. They don't have to like be negative, because that's what the country wants to see. That's what sells. Hey, let's get this black man over here to disrespect and talk bad about this black man over here. Even better if this man wasn't black, if he was white or if he was Hispanic, and now we can bring race into it. But since they can't bring race into it, since they can't do what they're going to be able to do with Charlo and Canelo, like they were able to do with Tank Davis and Ryan Garcia, like they were able to do with Lomachenko and Devin Haney. If you want any indication on how much America doesn't rock for us, look at boxing. Look at MMA. I had a white guy that I was talking to, going back and forth with on Twitter, who was defending Drakus du Plessis' camp and their handling of saying that Israel Adesanya was not African. A white man from South Africa telling a black man born in Nigeria whose family fled to another country in order to try to give their son and their kids a better life, that they're not true Africans. And then wonder why Israel Adesanya jumps into the ring and punks him in the ring with some inflammatory words that I don't necessarily use, but I don't mind that he used it in the way that he used it, because he was hot. And I would have been hot too. I would have been hot too. How dare you? How dare you, son of the oppressor, son of the colonizer, tell a natural born African man that you are more African than he is. He said it perfectly. If you get 23andMe and swab mine, it's coming directly from Africa. I can point to it on the map. If you get 23andMe and swab Drakus du Plessis, his origin is not going to be Africa. And this white man on Twitter just continued to tell me how, oh, it was childish what he did, and du Plessis never said that. I kept showing him evidence. Other people showed him evidence. He never came off his square. He just kept on trying to get it back to, that was immature, that was unprofessional. It's fighting. Who gives a damn if it's immature or unprofessional? It's fighting. They're going to handle it in the ring. And when Israel Adesanya knocks this dude out or beats him to a pulp, one of the two is going to happen. He's going to knock the guy out. He's going to beat him to a pulp. When one of those two things happens and he's talking noise at him at the end, call him unprofessional, call him what you will, but the score will be settled then. The score will be settled then. And that's what we have to deal with in this country right now, black men. Love each other. Big each other up. Hold each other tight. Pause. It ain't like that. You know what I mean? If we don't do it, nobody else will. Ladies and gentlemen, that's Salt Spicy. I'm Coach Gene Clemens. I do this thing a few times a week. Rate the show, comment, agree, disagree, but whatever you do, keep it spicy. 5-star ratings are appreciated. If you're joining me on the YouTube channel, make sure you like, make sure you subscribe. Till next time, peace.